And instead of moving forward into 13, we're going to spend one more week getting shored up. Instead of moving into 14, we're going to spend one more week getting shored up and learning what God has for us in chapter 13. We kind of worked through it a little bit quickly last week, and maybe this is just me and my heart, but I don't think so. I think that all of us need to know a bit more about what God says about the most excellent way, and that is love, of course. So in chapter 13, at the very end of 14, or 12, I'm sorry, was Paul's encouragement to us, and he said to us, he said, eagerly desire the greater gifts. You remember that? Paul said, you know, God has gifted every Christian. There's no such thing as an ungifted Christian. Everybody has one. But despite whatever it is that God's given you, you still need to pursue or eagerly desire greater gifts. And we talked about what those things would be and whether or not one gift was truly greater than another gift. And I think that hopefully we came to the agreement that the greatest gift that's available to the believer is actually whatever the believer in the body of Christ needs at that time. Okay, well, whatever the situation is, the circumstance is, whatever need is in your heart, whatever need is in your brother's and sister's heart, when God meets that need, that is the greatest gift that you can have right then. So, but in the same breath, remember Paul says to us, he says that there's also a more excellent way. So desire the greater gifts. And then Paul says, but I'm going to show you now, even as you desire these gifts, I'm going to show you, though, the more excellent way. And he spoke to us in the verse 1 of chapter 13. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Those are some pretty amazing gifts. I mean, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, of knowledge, of faith. Those are gifts that all of us should jump at. But Paul says, without love, doesn't matter how great the gift is, without love is nothing. It's worthless. Paul said, even go as far as to say, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So what is the most excellent way? Love. And before we seek any greater gifts, and we all should, believe me when I tell you, guys, God has been shaping and molding this church for the last 12 months, really, as we've been in this book. He's been molding you to get to these points where he can show you how much he wants to gift you. How incredible he wants to make your ministry, your life, the relationships around you. And he's going to do all of those things. But he tells us that the greatest of these things, though, is he's going to teach us how to love. He's going to teach you and me. And we may think we've got it figured out, but I can tell you this week, God showed me I really don't. But he's been teaching me, and today I hope that you'll join me in that education process, and you'll learn how to love as well. Beginning of verse 4, we read, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. That's only two verses. Only two verses of the Holy Scripture, and the Spirit of God reveals to us such an incredible amount about this idea of love, about God's kind of love. And as I prepared this last day and a half now, and as I've been considering this scripture in my own heart and what God's sharing with me, what I've realized, and I'm just, again, honestly, is that I fall so very short. So very short. I miss the mark so often when I line up my life with this list, with just these two verses. You know how often I am not patient? You know how often I am not kind? I boast, I'm proud. You can just go down through the list. And I know I'm not the only person in this room. All of us are guilty of these same things. We all need to be educated. We all need to be taught how to love this morning. So as I was getting ready, believe me, the enemy's whispering in my ear, boy, you done missed it all. Don't even try. How can you possibly stand up and talk to other believers about love when you don't know how to love? Yeah, that was a real struggle for me. Starting last night, about 8 o'clock at night, and it's been a struggle up until about 10:20. But what I realized this morning, and what the Holy Spirit's been sharing with me, is this is not a picture of some kind of unattainable love. This is not something that's super distant that we have no possibility of ever finding. He shared with me that I'm not here today, I'm not meant to share with you with a downtrodden and defeated heart. In fact, I'm not willing to do that. Because instead, what I find myself being a part of is that this morning, and I hope again that you'll follow in with me, but this morning what I find is that God is even right now, as we are in the Scriptures together, and I'm sharing with you the best of what I know as far as what God's telling me, right now God is teaching me. And right now He is teaching you. And He's guiding us. And if we will let Him, if we will just open up the door and say, God, I'm willing, He is wanting to change you today as well. He wants to reshape your heart. He wants to make your heart able to love all of these incredible ways. God is not here today to simply educate you. He's got a much bigger plan than that. Sometimes we show up to church and it becomes very academic. Open up your Bibles to this chapter, this verse, let's talk about it. Here's what the Greek means here, and now everybody have a great day, amen. And that's education, that's important, that's great. But God wants to do a lot more than that today. I believe that God wants to absolutely initiate you into love. He wants to foundationally change everything about what you believe it is, and then show you how to have this in your life. I mean, right now, in many, many ways, I want to. But compared to this list, I'm not loving my wife like this. In many ways, my heart's desire yearns to love my children like this. But if I'm honest, when I look at this list, I'm falling short. So many times, as I've been trying to do this myself, I've wanted to love you guys like this. To be patient and kind, to have no pride, to love you like God loves you. But again, I fall short. I want to love the broken. I want to love the lost. You know how hard it is to love the lost, though, on Monday morning? I mean, maybe you do. You know how hard it is for me to walk into my grocery store, have somebody who maybe they just stole from me? And to know that God's call on my life is to love that person, that's hard. But I can tell you honestly today, and it took a lot to get me here, I want to be able to do that. But I need God to change me. And I believe, I know your heart's well enough as well to know that you want to be able to do that also. But you need God to change you. So let's return in verse 4. Let's take a look at this together. Verse 4 says, when it says, love is patient. Some of you, your Bibles say long-suffering, right? The Authorized Version. Love is patient, though. Love will endure. Love is steadfast. And I don't mean just patient, just enduring when it comes to time. Love is that. But love will also endure injury. And it will endure wrong. When a harsh word is spoken, when a wound is delivered, guess what? Love endures. And love chooses not to respond in anger. Love is patient. It says love is patient, love is kind. Love not only responds with kindness when the appropriate time comes, but the kind of love we're looking at today seeks out opportunities to show kindness. Not just your response to a situation, but this kind of love goes out of its way to find the opportunity, to find the instance when it can show kindness. Love does not envy. Friend, if we really love people the way that God tells us to love others, we would not be jealous about their possessions. We would not envy their talents. We would not envy their gifts. Instead, we would be celebrating how God has blessed them if we truly loved each other. We would rejoice at what God is accomplishing through them by what He's given them. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Two things love is not: conceited and arrogant. Two things often Tim is: conceited and arrogant. I need God to change me. I need God to rewrite that part of my heart. Love, though, chooses instead of arrogance, it chooses to honor others above itself. Romans 12:10, the word says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. Love is not rude, verse 5. It is not self-seeking. In speech and action, love addresses others with courtesy and with respect. Love chooses the welfare of someone else over itself. And love will never advance its own purposes at somebody else's expense. Anybody here guilty of that one? Yeah. Guys, we need God to teach us. We need God to train us up. He needs to change us. And He's wondering today, are you ready? Are you here today for that purpose? Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. There's no room in a heart that is defined and filled with this kind of love for unrighteous wrath. The fire that love will kindle in your heart will consume your heart and will leave nothing for that fire of wrath to consume. It'll have no place, no business in your heart when this kind of love defines you. I mean, consider, what was Christ's response? How often He was wronged. How often He was mistreated. What was His response? Perhaps it was a just response, but it was measured. He measured it accordingly. And often what? He even dismissed it. Nothing. That's true love. Love seeks to extend forgiveness to others just as God extends forgiveness to us. And who here is happy that God doesn't keep a book on us of all of our sins and keep turning back to it saying, but Kathy, do you remember this day? Do I have to remind you again? No, God says that your sin is cast away. He keeps no record of your wrongs. I'm very grateful for that. I want a heart that the same thing could be said about me. A forgiveness is unconditional, with no future thought of retribution, no retaliation. That's love. And too often I have no idea how to do that. Love does not delight in evil, verse 6, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not wish ill for others. It takes no pleasure in someone else's injury or the struggle that they're in. Instead, love responds to those moments in other people's lives with compassion. Responds to those moments with the truth of God. And then, when the truth is received, love rejoices as the truth reshapes and transforms that person's life. Now, I know, like I said before, this is a daunting list, isn't it? I mean, you guys have kind of heard me sharing with you about how I missed the mark, but I know in the process of just these 11 items, these 11 qualities of God-like love, I know that every person in this room misses the mark. And you probably do it every single day. But see, God didn't bring you here today to take this truth, this incredible love, and rub it in your nose and then say, oh, but you can't possibly get this. He didn't come here today to do that. He's not here today to show you this incredible life-changing truth, and that's it. and then have you leave here the same man or the same woman that walked in those doors. He has you here for a greater purpose. He has you here. He's got you ready for this moment because he's wanting to see if you're really willing to pursue him today on this. Again, I don't mean let's just go listen to the pastor for a little bit and we'll sing our song and go home. Listen, I'm talking about a genuine, 100% honest pursuit of the Holy Spirit today. I'm talking about hearing this list, realizing that I completely miss it, that I'm somewhere way over in left field. I hardly feel like I get any of it right. Some of you are there right now. And then he's asking you, are you willing then to pursue me? He's here today wanting to know if you will pursue or if you're going to be content with the way you've always been. I hope that you'll stay with me this morning. I hope that together we're going to pursue God. So 11 attributes of love. We talked about them. 11 attributes, 11 qualities of God's perfect love. The love that we first received from God. Amen? Okay, one person, good. Okay, is everybody awake? Okay, God's perfect love. The love that we first received from Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, if you're ready to pursue this morning, I'm going to push you a little bit now, because these are also 11 characteristics of the kind of love that we are not only see here, not only the kind of love that He gives us, but the kind of love that we are commanded to give others. Any raised eyebrows on that idea? Tim, are you really commanding me to love somebody else? No, I'm not commanding you to do anything. But the Word of God commands you to love others. Tim, I can't possibly love some of these people. I don't even like them. Well, the Word of God doesn't command you to like them. Okay, you don't have to like them if you don't want to. But the Word of God does say that as a Christian, as someone who bears His name, okay, as someone who has taken of the gift of eternal life from your Savior, you are also then required to obey His commands as your Lord. Jesus did not command you to like, but for every believer, He does command you to love. John 13:34, He says, a new command I give you. Love one another. That's your King. That's your Lord. That's my sovereign King. Whatever He says in my life, that's the bottom line. And if He says love, then the answer is love. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. It's not optional. I know that seems strange in a culture where we have devalued love so much. But this kind of love is not optional for the believer. It is hard. It's a command. It can at times even seem difficult. It may even seem impossible when facing certain circumstances. But it is not optional. And it is a command of our King. But it's not a command, again, that you are unable to follow. Because just as the Holy Spirit has gifted each of us with gifts, He's given us talents and abilities to enable us, to equip us, to see His work done in the others around us. In that same fashion, okay, God has given Himself, His Holy Spirit, to take up residence in you, to enable you and to equip you on how to love. You can't do it on your own, I assure you. There are people even in this room that you're probably thinking of right now that you cannot love that person on your own. Something has happened in the past, some type of disagreement, some type of rift, whatever it was, by yourself you are incapable of following this command. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will not only show you how, but He will make you able. He will equip you to be able to accomplish this. I was reminded as I was thinking about that this morning. You guys ever hear of Jim Elliot? He's a missionary down in South America. It's really an incredible story, kind of a short story, really. But he went down to South America to preach the gospel to an unreached tribe of native Indians. And when they finally made contact, these tribe had never really seen anybody from the Western world. And when they finally made contact with these Indians, Jim and I think his three other companions were speared to death that same day. What an incredible ministry, right? Day one, speared to death. But the story doesn't end there. The story goes on because Jim Elliot's wife was then approached by the same tribe and was invited to live with them. Now, what would you do? Run for cover, right? No way. But see, Jim Elliot's wife believed that that love was not an option. She believed that it was a command. And therefore, she chose to spend the next 10 to 15 years with this tribe. So understand this, that for the next 10 to 15 years, Jim Elliot's wife ate, slept, and lived life with the same group of individuals that had murdered her husband. Her children, she wasn't just a mom or just a wife, she had children as well. Her children played with the children of the men who had murdered her husband. That's incredible. That's somebody who takes God's command to love seriously and says, this is not an option in my life. And even though this situation seems impossible, and there's no way I could possibly do it, and who would agree that there's no way that by yourself you could do that? But God enabled her. God equipped her with His Holy Spirit to do this. And she ministered effectively. Today, the tribe has been effectively evangelized. There are generations now, two and three generations of believers, because one person chose to love. But it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't do it on your own. You don't have it built in. It's only by the power of God's Spirit that He gives to you that you're able to accomplish something like this. So now, in our pursuit this morning, if you're still with me, please listen in. If you're not, you do whatever it was that you were doing. But if tonight, or this morning, you're pursuing, this morning, you're hot on the trail of God, and you want God to change you today, then let's get this a little bit more personal. Who is that person in your life today that is impossible for you to love? I'll give you just a second to think about it. I bet you have one, if not many. Who is that person today that you know there's no way, Tim, not a chance that I could ever love this person? Now, I want to tell you something. Don't leave here today after being convicted by the Holy Spirit and just run over their house and just start to pour out your life to them. Okay? The Holy Spirit leads you to do that. That's between you and God. But don't act foolishly. Okay, I'm not saying that Paul nowhere in chapter 13 writes love is foolish. Okay, I'm not telling you to do that. But if today God is showing you that individually very clearly, He's showing you who that person is. I mean, as soon as I said that, for some of you, you knew it right then who it was. You knew exactly who it was as soon as I spoke the words. So if God has shown you that person, and today you're willing to pursue God, so you're willing to accept the fact that love is a command and not an option, then get serious today and ask God how. Ask God to enable you. Ask God to give you whatever it is that you need to be able to love that individual. Your part is to be ready. Your part is to be willing. God's part is to show you how. And He will faithfully do that. So 11 qualities in verses 4 through 6. What a list. 11 qualities. Things that God is calling us to. The way that He wants us to love. The only way we can do it, though, through God as well. It all comes back to God. It all comes back through the Holy Spirit. So 11 qualities in verses 4 through 6. But then we read in verse 7, we read the results of love. You say results, that's kind of a... I don't think about results when I think about love. See, the thing we need to understand is that love is not just a mental consideration. Love is not just an idea. It's not just a notion that I might have or I might not. Love is an action. It's an action. And because it's an action, guess what? It has a result. So verse 7, Paul writes, and he says, it always, love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love always protects. I was doing a little bit of research this morning. That's a really amazing word, that protects. Because it's actually the same word in the Greek as the word for roof of a house. Now, initially, I thought that was kind of strange. But then when I started to consider it a bit more, that means that if we will embrace this idea, if we will seek after God, seek after His kind of love, then that love will protect us just like the roof protects the house. That means that that love will defend you against the storms. That means that that love will keep out the resentment and the bitterness just like your roof keeps out the rain. That means that just like our roofs shield us from the summer heat, love will shield us from the disappointments of life. That up and down roller coaster that we find ourselves on so often. Love is the answer to that. It will protect you. He says love always trusts. Trust or faith. Love always has it. Faith in God, yes. But love allows you also to have a faith or a trust in people. And this is a hard one for me. Some of you can share this with me, but it's easy to become jaded, to become cynical, to write certain people off. I think that this is just a part of my own heart. Maybe you share it as well. This is an easy trap that I fall into. But it says here that love always trusts. So, gentlemen or ladies, if you're struggling with this difficulty like I am, the issue really is not that you cannot trust others. The issue is that you're unwilling to love others. Is what it comes down to. Difficult, yes. It's been wisely said that when I stand before my Lord, I hope He'll say of me that I've been loved, that I have loved and trusted too much rather than too little. I think we ought to live our lives that way. And if you lack trust in your life, if you're unable to trust, if you become cynical towards people or towards groups of people, then really your issue is not a trust issue, it's a love issue. How about this one? Love always hopes. Anybody here have despair creeping into your life seemingly every other day? You know, those doubts and those concerns, and really it's fear just creeps in at the moment's notice, like the door just seems to be open all the time. The answer to that is love, because love always hopes. That means if you will embrace that kind of love, if you say to God, this is the kind of way I want to love in this life, then that love is going to enable you to believe that God, that Jesus, is every bit the conquering King, every bit the sovereign Lord. He is the victorious warrior that this book says that He is. You're going to have hope in that. And if you believe those things, then you can actually continue to believe Romans 8:28, which says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. So when despair creeps in, guess what? If you've got love in your heart, you'll have hope. You know that God is on your side. You know that there's no weapon of the enemy that can be formed against you. You know these things. But if you're struggling with despair, the issue is not despair, the issue is love. You don't have love. Because if you have love, It always hopes. And finally, the result of love, it always perseveres. Perseveres. It's an interesting word as well. It's actually a military term. The word is actually used to describe locations that cannot be given up. It's used to describe defenses that must hold. And God uses this word to describe love. God uses this idea of an absolute no surrender. We will hold the ground. We will not retreat. And he says, this is what I will give you in love. That it will persevere. The defenses will hold. Through love, God will give you that wall, that tower, that strong place in your life that can bear any storm. That can fend off any attack through love. I mean, are you facing defeat in your life truly right now? Because the issue is really not defeat. The issue is love. Because love perseveres. Love is an unbreachable tower. The enemy has nothing for love. But if you lack love in your life, you're going to face defeat. Because you'll be unable to persevere. Love perseveres because its strength is derived from God. Amen. Love bears those things that otherwise are unbearable. I just broke my mic. Love believes those things that otherwise are absolutely unbelievable. Love hopes in those things that otherwise are hopeless. And love endures. Love perseveres when anything less than love would give up. Love, verse 8. Here it is, friend. This is why you pursue this. This is your confidence. Verse 8. Love never fails. Your God didn't make love with the option to fail. Not this kind of love. You know, as I look around, and as we've experienced over these last couple months, I hope that you see, like I do, the incredible things that God is doing, the incredible ways that He is gifting people. But then it just blows me away because as people aren't just holding on to that gift, they're doing something with it. And that's an awesome thing. And that's an exciting thing to watch the Holy Spirit not only fall upon someone's heart, but for that heart to be like a patch of soil and just soak it in and to grow up and to see God accomplish incredible things. And I see that happening in so many lives today. And God is steadily pouring His Spirit out upon not only this church, but upon this generation. I mean, that is a truth of God's Word, that these things will happen. And God wants to gift you. God wants to pour into you. God wants to see you used for His purpose. But remember what Paul says, that without love, though, all of those amazing gifts, all of those amazing purposes. And some of you are well gifted. Some of you, God has just overdone it. But without love, it's worthless. You won't accomplish anything. You will not be able to hope. You won't have trust. You won't persevere in the difficult times without love. Church, we not only cannot move forward, we must not move forward without love. There's no place to go. And I'm not willing to lead you there without love. So the question then becomes today again, are you willing to pursue Him? Because He's here. I don't mean in the sense like, you know, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Yes, every believer, He's within you. He indwells you. But He wants to do something more. He wants to absolutely consume your life. You know, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, the baptism into the Holy Spirit, many times, right? But just the understanding of the word without going into theology of it. The understanding of it, the baptizo, which is to be immersed or to be dipped into. It means to have every part of who you are covered. Okay, there's something more than just the Holy Spirit sealing you with salvation. That's true. That's beautiful. And we all should be thankful for that. But the Holy Spirit wants to dip you into Himself and cover every part of your life. But as much as He wants to do that, the question today still persists. Are you willing to pursue Him? Or are you just here today for an academic or to be educated a little bit more in the Bible? Friends, many of us know well more than we even need to know about the Bible. Many of us have been educated well past our point of obedience. But today, you get the chance to pursue God. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you. For some of you, as we've talked about love, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, maybe there's a phone conversation you need to have. Maybe there is. Maybe there's a letter that you need to write. But you know what? There might be a person in this room right now, sitting in this room with you right now. It may be the person right to your right or to your left. Maybe right now, God is leading you to lean over and tell that person, hey, I'm sorry and I love you. And God wants to show you now how to love with chapter 13, 1 Corinthians kind of love. The kind of love that's incapable without the Holy Spirit. So whatever that is for you, I don't know. I hope that you're with me. I hope that you didn't drop out somewhere 20 minutes ago. But if you're there and you're hot on pursuit, then let me just tell you, God is ready to be found. And God wants to teach you how to love today. Because He's got to get that shored up in you before He can do the rest of it. Okay? So let's pray. And as we pray, I just challenge you to be obedient, whatever that means. Okay? There are men and women who will pray with you if that's what you need. Okay, but for some of you, I think you already know what God has called you to. And it's already uncomfortable, and you just can't wait to get out of this room so you can let it go.